So last week we gave a brief overview into the halachas of halo, both that we recite on Rosh Chodesh as well as halo that is recited throughout the year. And we gave a little bit of the halachic background into understanding a little bit more about what the guidelines are and when one is supposed to recite halo shalem, when is one supposed to recite only a chatzi halo, only a partial halo. As a follow-up to the discussion last week, and also in conjunction with the fact that this week happens to be Parshas B'Shalach, when we read the Shira Sayam, when we sing Shira over the gratitude that we have, the gratefulness that we have on the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim, I want to speak this morning not so much about a halachic topic per se, but more about a hashkafic topic, and that is about the importance and the centrality of gratitude in general. And to give us a little bit of a perspective onto what the Torah has to say about gratitude, how far-reaching it's supposed to be, and to give us the opportunity once in a while to really reflect a little bit on what we owe, not only our parents, our friends, our children, our siblings, those who we're closest with, not only God himself, but also sometimes those who we might not think to be grateful to. So that's something that we're going to discuss today. And let's begin with the Medrash on the opening words in Parshas Bereishis, where the Medrash tells us something striking. The Medrash says on the very first pasuk, Bereishis bara Elokim, in the beginning God created the world, says the Medrash, Bereishis bara Elokim, bischus bikurim, shenamar Bereishis bara Elokim, ve'ein reishis ela bikurim, kemosha kasuv, reishis bikuri ad mascha. That's number one in the source sheet, where the Medrash tells us that, you want to know why God created the world? I could have had 1,001 reasons, but said the Medrash, the reason why is because ultimately there would one day be a time when there would be a Beis HaMikdash, and when we'd have the opportunity to offer Bikurim, to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash, our first fruits. And because of that, that was a good enough reason to create the world. As it says, Bereishis bara Elokim, and we're told by the mitzvah Bikurim, Reishis, Bikuri ad mascha, Tavi Beis HaShem Elokecha, Reishis, that's why the world was created. Now this is striking. And it's fascinating, surprising more, when you think about it. We have other midrashim would say, Bereishis bara Elokim, you know why the world was created? Because Bisvil Yisrael shenikra Reishis. Because the Jewish people are called Reishis. That makes a lot of sense. We're a staple of the world. We're a staple of creation. As we know, we're a very important people. That would make sense to me. There's another medrash that says, Bereishis bara Elokim Bisvil Torah shenikra Reishis. Because we know Reishis chachma yiras Hashem. That also makes a lot of sense. Torah is the foundation of the world. It makes sense that that's a precondition for the world to have been created. If you don't have Torah, you don't have a world. And because ultimately there is going to be a Torah, it makes sense why the world should be created. It's an underpinning of why the world is here. Those two opinions make a lot of sense. But when you think about it, why does it make sense that because there's going to one day be a mitzvah of Bikurim, that's a good enough reason to create the world? Why is Bikurim any different, any more significant than any of the other 613 mitzvahs that we find throughout the Torah? And some suggest that perhaps the reason why is because when you think a little bit about what the act of bringing Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash really represents, it's clear that it's an act of gratefulness. It's an act of gratitude. We take all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses us with, we give him the first fruits that come up into our produce of the year, and we offer them all solely to him. And we show him that nothing is our own, and that everything that we're blessed with in our own lives is his. And upon the experience of going up to the Beis HaMikdash to offer the Bikurim once a year, we're told that a person has to come and give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only for the blessings that you have now, but you start all the way back from the beginning of creation. Arami Ovid Avi. You should know I'm thankful to you not only for giving me the Bikurim, but I'm thankful to you because there was somebody by the name of Yaakov Avinu, and Laban was having an issue with Yaakov, and Yaakov almost didn't survive, and he almost didn't make it, and now here we are so many thousands of years. Vihine. You go through the whole history of the Jewish people until you get to the present. And you say, thank you Hashem for giving me the Adama, for giving me the land of Eretz Yisrael, and for giving me the produce, and for giving me the blessing that we now see in the land in which we inhabit. And that's what we do on the occasion of the experience of Bikurim, and that's what the Medrash means. The world was worth being created because one day there would be a mitzvah which would be an act of gratitude. And that's what God wants from us. He created a world that we should have an opportunity to thank him and to be grateful to him. When you look in the Ramban, there's a very famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. We'll talk about the more famous part later, but this is the less famous part of the Ramban, but it's also extremely important. When you think about the Ramban, he wasn't one of these flowery writers. The Ramban was one of the Rishonim, one of the staples of the Rishonim, one of the most important Rishonim, and here he writes on the Sefer on Chumash that what was the objective, what was the purpose, the tachlis habriya, what was the reason why God actually created the world in the first place? So we're told, says the Ramban, if you look at number 2 in the source sheet, kavanas kol hamitzvos. You want to know what is the kavanas kol hamitzvos, what is the intent, what's the reason for all the mitzvos that we have? Shenamin ve'elokeinu. That makes a lot of sense. The reason why we have mitzvos is that it should push us to believe in God. Vinoda elav shehu bara anu. The tachlis kol hamitzvos, the objective of all of our observance is not only that we should recognize His presence, but vinoda elav, that we should be grateful to Him, shehu bara anu, that He created us. Vihi kavanas hayitzira. And that is the ultimate purpose of the creation in the first place. She'ein lanu tam acher biyitzira harishona. We have no other reason why we were created. Ve'ein kel elyon chafetz betachtonim. God does not need us here. God does not need the whole world that we live in. He doesn't need our mitzvahs. He doesn't need all the things that we're doing. So why did He create us? Milvad. It was for the sole purpose, sheyeda ha'adam, that a person should recognize, v'yoda lelokav shebaru, that we should recognize that there's a God in the world, and that we should thank Him for creating us. Says the Ramban, tachlis kol habriya. That's it. And if you don't have that, and if you don't understand that, you're missing what all of our observance throughout the year, with everything we do, is really supposed to be about. That's something the Ramban teaches us, and it really echoes what this Medrash says. Bishvil bikurim shenikra reishis. This is the reason. That was the justification for the creation of the world. There was no other purpose. There was no other reason. But shenamin be'elokeinu, that we should believe in God, and that we should bring ourselves v'yoda le'elokav shebarao. We should thank God Himself for creating us. It's interesting, when you look in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov Avinu gives the brachas to his various children, so each one gets a very specific bracha that speaks to a lot of what the person's personality was about. So we're told, Yehuda, ata yoducha achecha. That's the bracha that Yehuda gets. How do you translate that word? Ata yoducha achecha? What does it mean? Your brothers will? What? Thank you? For what? Huh? What do you say? Yoducha achecha. So some say it means your brothers will be known by you because you are the melech. So everyone will pride themselves by the fact that they have a brother by the name of Yehuda who happens to be the melech Yisrael. The Targum Yonos of Ben Uziel writes over there, no. You know what it means, ata yoducha achecha? The meaning of that sentence is, even though Reuven has many children and grandchildren and they should really be walking around in their lives and saying, we are mishpachas haru'uveni, we are the Reuvenim. And Shimon and all of his descendants should walk around throughout life and say, we are the Shimonim, and we are the Leviim, and we are this, and we are that. No, says the Pasuk, Ato Yoducha Achecha, for all posterity, the Jewish people, whether they're from the Shevet Yehuda or not, will all be known as the Yehudim, because your name is Yehuda. Ato Yoducha Achecha, all of your brothers will be known by your name. Why do we choose Yehuda out of everybody else? What's so significant about him? The answer is because Yehuda was named Hapam Odes Hashem. The reason why his name was Yehuda was because Leah was so grateful upon the birth of Yehuda, and because of that, we take upon ourselves that that's going to be our namesake. That's going to be what we're all going to call ourselves, because that's what we're all about. We're all about showing our gratefulness throughout life in everything that happens. And that's why we're called forever not the Reuvenim, not the Shimonim, but rather the Yehudim, based on Yehuda, because Hapam Oda Es Hashem. This is what we say in Nishmas every Shabbos. Shekein Chovas Kal HaYitzurim. What does that mean? The obligation, the mandate, we are charged, kol ha'yitzurim, every living being has an obligation, lifanecha, Hashem Elokeinu, lehodos, lehalel, lefar, leromem, lehader, levarech, lekales. Our obligation in this world is to take out time, to carve out a space for ourselves, and to praise and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our daily lives. This is an obligation. It's not just a nice thing to do. It's chovas kol hayitzurim. It's what the Ramban tells us is the tachlis habriya. It's the objective of why we're here. It's what the Medrash says that was the justification of the creation of the whole world. So it's something to think about, and I think that's why it's a nice opportunity when we speak about Hallel, not only to say about the obligation that we have in Hallel, and when technically we're supposed to say Hallel Shalim and Chatzi Hallel, but it's also a time for us to reflect about what kind of gratitude we're supposed to be feeling, and how much Hakaras HaTov really means to the people that help us most, and to the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, who's so involved in our lives. So it doesn't seem to be just another mitzvah in the Torah. It seems to be a little bit more fundamental, a little bit more important than that, and it's a lot of what we're supposed to be accomplishing in our lives. Let's look together at a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And here you have a Mishnah which is very interesting. The Mishnah points out the character traits, the characteristics, the qualities and virtues that a person is supposed to have throughout life. The Mishnah here is not describing the mitzvos and averos that we're supposed to do or not do throughout life. That we have a Torah to tell us. We have a Mishnah here, generally in Pirkei Avos, that tells us a lot about wonderful character traits or negative character traits that we should stay away from. So here we have the same. But there's one thing I hope everyone will notice, because it's glaringly obvious as we'll read the Mishnah. There's one thing that simply does not fit into the list. And you'll see as we go on. What is the derech ishara? What is the greatest positive character trait that a person should carry with them throughout life? So there's a big discussion in the Mishnah, and everyone has their own opinion. Rebbe Elazar Omer, ayin tova. You know what? You should always be positive, because a negative person always has a negative spin on everything, and it's not a way of life. Rebbe Yeshua Omer, chaver tov. The greatest virtue that you can have is to choose for yourself a good chaver who's going to point out to you something that you're doing wrong, something that you're doing right, how you can perfect yourself, how life can be a little bit more enhanced, a little bit better. That's a good idea. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shachin Tov, a good neighbor. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Haroa Esanolad, someone who always looks to the future. Not that you don't pay attention to the present, but that you always look forward to the future and understand that I have a responsibility toward the future. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Leiv Tov, the best character trait and characteristic is that a person should have a good heart. Amar Lahem, Roa Anias, Divir Rabbi Lezer Ben Arachsha, Bechlal, Divarav Divrechem. If a person has a good heart, he has everything. So therefore, maybe a good heart is the best of the whole list. Fine. So far we have a nice list of characteristics that we should think about adopting for ourselves. Now, here's the problematic part. Amar Lahem, on the contrary to what we just said, what is the good way to live life? Suru'u Ezehu Derech Ra. What is the negative character traits? Sheyisrachek Mimena Ha'adam. What is the negative character trait, the derech hara, that a person should stay away from? Rebbe Elazar Omer, ayin ra. A person should not have a negative perspective on everything in life. That's just not going to be good. Rebbe Shul Omer, chaver ra. So far, everything is flipped. Instead of having a chaver tov, you choose a chaver ra. Rebbe Yossi Omer, shachin ra. So far, everything's fine. Rebbe Shimon Omer, halove ve'ena mishalim. Halove ve'ena mishalim. Rebbe Elazar Omer, lev ra. So everything else makes sense here, but what doesn't fit? Lova ve'ena mishalim, what does it mean? It means somebody who borrows money and doesn't pay back. What would you call that? You would call that a negative character trait, or you would call that a ganav? Let's call him for what he is. You're stealing money. If you borrow money from someone and you deny the person ever lending you the money, and you refuse to pay them back, you are not just a person who doesn't have positive character traits in life. You're a person who is nothing short of a ganav. You're somebody who steals money from other people. So how does that belong in this Mishnah? Does the Mishnah say you also shouldn't talk Lashon Hara? Does the Mishnah say you also shouldn't be Mechal Shabbos? The Mishnah is not giving us a list of averus and mitzvahs here. The Mishnah is giving us a list of positive and negative character traits. So why is it that here we have an aberration and the Mishnah goes out of its way to say, Halov Aveinu Mishalim is not a positive character trait in life. And this is not my finding. This is Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz points out that really this line in the Mishnah does not fit. And you need to give an explanation as to what it's doing here. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the Mishnah is not describing somebody who's a lova ve'ena mishalim. It's not talking about someone who borrows money and doesn't pay back physically. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what's the derech hara'a, as you'll see in the Mishnah, sheyisrachek mimenu ha'adam. What's the road that the person went on that led to ultimately them being a lova ve'ena mishalim? How do you get to that point where you can borrow money from someone and you don't pay them back? What a chutzpah, what a nerve. How do you do such a thing? And the answer is, the only way you can come to that is if you're so ungrateful. If you fail to recognize how much of a favor the person did for you when you were at a loss, when you needed their help. And you can't bring yourself, you're so haughty, you're so high on top of yourself that you can't lower yourself to admit that somebody else did something for you and you owe it to them, you can ultimately lead yourself to be a lova ve'ena mishalim. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, it belongs in this Mishnah. Because it's a negative character trait that can lead to the worst things. It could lead to gneiva. It could lead to stealing. But the root of all that, the derech, the avenue, the path that you took which led you there is by being an ungrateful person, by failing to recognize how much you owe other people who do things for you in your life, who bestow kindnesses upon you. And ultimately, if you go down that road, you will end up being a lova ve'ena mishalim as well. When you think about the gratitude that we owe, it's not always to the person who we think is the most obvious that deserves the gratefulness. And what I mean by that is as follows. We have a medrash, if you look at number 4, we're going to go through a lot of sources today. As you see, it's two sides of the page. But I think it's nice to see where these ideas come from and to see what the sources are all about and give us a little bit of a perspective and an appreciation of how much gratitude we actually all owe in our own lives. So the Medrash tells us as follows. We have a story with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is living in the palace of Paro, and Moshe Rabbeinu is living a good life. And he hears that there's a problem outside. He hears that the Jewish people are suffering. So what happens in Parsha Shemos? Vayar b'sivlosim. He goes outside. Nasan eina v'libo lios meitzer aleim, Rashi says. He puts himself into the situation. He wants to get involved. So what does he do? He goes out of the palace right away. The first thing he sees is Vayar, and he notices that Ish Mitzri is being maka Ish Ivri. He sees that one of his brothers is being destroyed, is being beaten by a Mitzri. He decides, I have to get involved. He gets involved. He kills the Mitzri, and now he runs away to Midian. He's afraid for his life. And he comes to Midian and he doesn't know anybody there. And what's the first thing that happens to him? He comes to a be'er, he comes to a well, and he sees that there are the daughters of Yisro standing around the be'er, waiting to go and get water, and they're being abused, whatever's happening, something terrible is happening to them, and he saves them from the abuse that they were enduring from the other Roim, from the other shepherds who were there. Now, just parenthetically, I'm reminded, Rav Asher Weiss said at our Shavar Brachas, what I believe is probably the best Shavar Brachas story you'll ever hear. So if you ever have a Shavar Brachas that you have to speak at, you can put this in the bank. He said, why is it that throughout the Torah you always find that every shidduch happens at a be'er? Every shidduch happens at a well. Why is that? What's so special? Is that like, that was the hotel back then? That was the Starbucks? What was happening there? So you might say, I guess that was the essential back then. Everyone needed water, so I guess that was the greatest meeting place. But there were certainly other places. There was a JCC back then also. People had places to meet. So what, you can only go to the Be'er? Why are we always going to the Be'er to meet the women? What is this? What's going on at the Be'er? So Rav Asher Weiss said at our Shavar Brachas when we got married, such an amazing insight. He said, when you think about it, there are three different water sources that you find throughout the Torah. One is a Be'er, one is a Mayan, one is a Mikvah. What's the difference between the three? Anybody know? A mikveh is something that we dig out. Everything is man-made. We dig it out, we fill it up with water. So everything is done on my own. A mayan is something which is completely natural. It's a spring, it just happens on its own. I didn't do anything. The water is just shooting forth out of the ground. A be'er is what? The be'er is the only place where you have a collaboration between man and God. It's where the person digs down deep until ultimately we hit a natural resource down there somewhere. And that's what everybody has to remember when building a home. That if you think you're going to do everything on your own and be successful, you're not going to be successful. It's not going to work. And if you're just going to put your feet up and say, well, God's going to do everything for me, I don't have to get a parnasa, I don't have to take care of myself, everything will be fine, I don't have to do any ishtadlus, you're also wrong. You can't have the expression of being only a mayan. You can't think that you're only going to be a mikvah. You have to be the be'er, the place where you have the collaboration between man and God, where you have that you dig deep, but then ultimately you're going to find God down there because he's going to make sure to help you out, only if you're seeking for him. Only if you're interested in him helping you. Only if you want him in your life. And that's why every time there's a foundation of a home that's being built, it always has to be on that premise that you're going to have the collaboration between man and God. What a great insight. What a beautiful pshat. It has to be the pshat. What?
It's beautiful.
You want to marry your kids off again, right? It's worth it. At the grandchildren.
I always say something.
Okay. For the next one. I hope nobody here is there. You can say you thought of it on your own. So anyway, back to our story. The Medrash says over here that Moshe Rabbeinu is the same as everybody else. He goes to the Be'er and he meets the daughters of Yisro. What happens? The daughters of Yisro come back home and they tell their father about Tomarna. And they say, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Miyad Haroim. They say there was an Egyptian who saved us from the abuse of the Midianim, of the Roim, of the shepherds who were abusing us. Says the Medrash, what do you mean? Mechi Mitzri Haya Moshe? This is number 4 in the Surah Sheet for those who are with us. V'chi mitzri haya Moshe, what do you mean? You can't tell that Moshe Rabbeinu is a Jew? Moshe Rabbeinu looked that assimilated? He looks like an Egyptian? They couldn't understand that he was not an Egyptian? What are they coming back and reporting to their father that Ish mitzri hitzilanu? There was an Egyptian who saved us. You know he's not an Egyptian. So the Medrash says, no. Remember, how did Moshe get over here? He runs out of the palace to go see what's happening. All of a sudden, he gets himself into trouble and he runs away. So he's probably wearing the garments, he's wearing the lavush of the Mitzrayim. He didn't have a chance to change into his bekesha, whatever he was going to wear. And he's wearing the clothing of the Mitzrayim. So he comes there and they say, says the Medrash, El lavusho Mitzri. Yeah, we know he's not an Egyptian, but he was wearing Egyptian clothing. V'hu Ivri, he happens to be a Jew. That's the first interpretation of the Medrash. Dabar Acher, and here's the important part. Dabar Acher, maybe it means as follows. Why do they call him Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu? There was an Egyptian who saved us. Well, says the Medrash as follows. Mashal Echad Shanashacha Arud. or it is some sort of rodent or whatever it was. In the times of Chazal, they thought that the only way to cure yourself if you were bitten by this snake or whatever it was is if you go quickly to a river and dip your leg that was bitten into the river. Okay, that was the medicine at the time. That's what they thought worked. So you have a person, mashal le'echad, you have a person who's bit by this rodent. V'hayarats liten ragla b'mayim, and he wants to make sure to get himself cured, so he's running to the river as quick as he can. Nasn on the nahar, he puts his foot in the river, and immediately ra tinok echad shu shakua b'mayim. He notices, as he's by the river, that there's a child who's drowning in the river. Child is going swimming, there's no lifeguard. V'shalach yada v'hitzilo, he jumps in, and he saves the baby, he takes the child out of the water. Amar lo hatinok, after he saves this child and takes care of him, the child says to him, Ilule ata, if not for the fact that you were here, kvar hayisi meis, that would have been the end of me. I didn't know how to swim, I couldn't take care of myself, and I drowned. I would have drowned if not for you. Amar lo, person says back, no, you don't owe a debt of gratitude to me. Lo ani hitzalticha, I didn't save you, ela, ha'arud sheneshachani uvarachti hemenu, hu hitzilecha. Why am I here in the first place? I don't just hang out at the river every day. The only reason I'm here is because I was bitten by a snake, and that's why I had to run to the river. So really, you owe the debt of gratitude to that snake over there that bit me. Fascinating. Says Moshe Rabbeinu. Kach amr benos Yisrael Moshe. That's the same thing that took place over here when Moshe Rabbeinu goes out of his way to save the daughters of Yisrael. You'll say, what a kind act. What a kind person. And they go back to their father and they say, you know, you see this kind person who saved us? Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, they say to him first, Yashar Kach, Sheitzaltanam Yad HaRom. Well, thank you, Moshe Rabbeinu, for saving us from the hands of these abusers. Amar Lahem Moshe, what do you mean? Oso Mitzri Sheharagti Oso, Hu Hitzil Eschem. The Mitzri that I killed in Mitzrayim is the only reason why I'm here, so you don't really owe the debt of gratitude to me. You have to backtrack sometimes. You have to go back in history and think about, if you reverse the story and understand, why is it that the person ended up here in the first place? Well, he's the one that you owe it to. V'lakach Amar La'aviyam, and that's why when they report back to their father, they say, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Kalomar, Mi Garam Lazeh, Sheyavo Etzlenu Ish Mitzri Shaharag. Who caused Moshe Rabbeinu to be here in the first place, in the right place, in the right time, and be able to save us? If you think about it from the perspective of how everything unfolded, it's really the gratefulness that we owe to the Mitzri back there who was killed. And it's a frightening statement, because Moshe Rabbeinu here is teaching us that gratitude is not always to the person who you think is most obviously deserving of it. Sometimes you have to take a little bit of an extra step and look to backtrack a little bit and think about, well, why did this person end up there in the first place? And why is it that I was hired for this job, for this position? Well, how did the person end up there in the first place? Why is it that I got this or I got that? It's not always because you interacted with someone. Sometimes there could be a third party who's involved who you're not even thinking about, but you owe it to them as well. That's what the Medrash teaches us. And you look a little bit further, not only that, we have a Medrash by the story of Yosef and his brothers. That's number 5 on the source sheet, where we have very strange Midrashim by that whole story. And when you think about it, the whole story of selling Yosef was just so difficult to understand. But here the Medrash tells us, commenting on the Pasuk, the brothers decide that they're going to throw Yosef into a pit. They had enough, they made a psak, Yosef is finished, we're going to get rid of him, throw him into the pit. All of a sudden, Vayishma Reuven ve'atzilem miyadam. Reuven wakes up and he says, hey, how can we do this? You better take him out of the pit. Ask the Medrash, what do you mean? Vayishma Reuven ve'atzilem ve'echan haya. All of a sudden he wakes up, where was he? While they're negotiating, while they're figuring out whether or not they should sell him, where was he all this time? Now he wakes up after they throw him into the pit? Says the Medrash, a three-way disagreement where exactly Reuven was until this point. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Nechemiah, ve'rabbana. Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yossi says, well, you know where he was? They used to have a rotation. Yaakov Avinu is an old man. He needs somebody to stay home with him. He can't have all the boys running around all the time without anyone helping him at home. So they made a rotation of children of who's going to stay home every day while everybody else goes out to play. So that day happened to be Reuven's turn to stay home with the old man. That's what it says. Says the Medrash. Kol echad ve'echad mehem hayim meshamish yosef v'yomo. Each one of them had a rotation where they would help out Yaakov Avinu. But osa hayom she Reuven haya. Happens to be that day when they were negotiating about selling Yosef and throwing him into the pit, happened to be Reuven's day, he wasn't there. They come home, they tell him what they just did. He says, what do you mean? You're going to throw him into the pit? I wasn't there, I wasn't involved. He runs right away and he takes him out. It's the first opinion. Reb Nechemi, Amar Reb Nechemi says no. Reuven says to himself, Ani Bechar, look, in the end of the day, how's this going to look in history? When everybody finds out that Yosef was sold by his brothers, well, they're going to say, who's the oldest child in that family? What kind of rat? What's wrong with him? How could he not care about his brothers? He says to himself, the responsibility in the end of days is going to be on me. I'm the oldest child. People are going to say, The oldest child couldn't keep his brothers in check? Can't be. Therefore, he says, "Ein hasir chon tali ala bi." I need to take responsibility because ultimately it's going to look really bad for me. And that's why he says, after he comes home and he thinks about what they just did, he says, well, I can't live with this for the rest of my life. I got to do whatever I can to save him. But here's the third opinion. Rabbanan Amri, Amar Ruvain. Ruvain said the following. He was there, he was negotiating with the brothers, they were figuring it out, and they all decided they were going to throw him into the pit. Ruvain comes home that night and he says to himself, how can I do this? Now that I think about it more carefully, how can I do it? Amar Ruvain. Hu mona osi im achi ve'eni matzilo? Yosef did something where he counted me amongst all the rest of my brothers. Don't I owe him a debt of gratitude? I'm not going to go and save him now? What's he referring to? Ani ha'yisi savar sheni dachti mikoach osa maisa. We know there was a little bit of a mess up that took place in the life of Reuven. He switched the beds. He thought he was excommunicated. He thought he was out of the family. All of a sudden, his brother has a dream. And in the dream, what does his brother see? 11 brothers are bowing down to him, says Reuven. Wow. I'm still a part of the family? He's still counting me in as one of the brothers? I owe it to him. I thought I was excommunicated. I thought I was out. I thought I lost my chance. I thought nobody wants to hear from me anymore. And he's giving me a chance? And he counts me among the rest of the brothers? Ani ha'yisi sabar, I thought shenidachni mikoach ha'samaisa. I thought I was gone after the mistake that I made, after the blunder. Behu no mona osi imache, but he still counts me amongst the rest of them. Shenemar ba'achad asar kochavim mishtachavim li ve'eni matzilo. Don't I owe it to him? Don't I owe it to him? And when you think about that, what does he owe him? What did Yosef do for him? Yosef had a dream. And he just tells over the dream to his brothers. Did Yosef do anything? And how often do we have people who do something for us and we say, well, it really wasn't a big deal. They didn't really assert themselves that much. They didn't really struggle. They didn't sweat to really do that favor for me. It wasn't a big deal for them. Yeah, it helped me, but it wasn't a big deal for them. I don't really owe it to them. What do you see from the story of Reuven and Yosef? You don't really owe it to him? What did Yosef do? What did he exert himself for his brother Reuven? Zero. Nothing. He had nothing to do with his dream. All he did was he woke up and he reported of what he saw in the middle of the night. He didn't even think. He didn't even realize. And yet Reuven later on ultimately says, I owe it to him because look what he did. Look how much he helped me. I think it gives us more of a perspective into those times when sometimes we feel, I don't really owe it to that person. They didn't really do that much for me. It's not such a big deal. It didn't cost them anything. It wasn't a big deal for them. But it's a big deal for you. And if it helps you in any way, you owe it to that person like Reuven owes it to Yosef. And when you think about the story of Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, the Medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu spends 7 days literally fighting with God. God says to him, it's time for you to go save the Jewish people. They're suffering in Mitzrayim. No, shlach nabi al tishlach, I want you to find someone else. Back and forth, and they're fighting and arguing. 7 days, the Medrash says. Finally, he gives in. God says to him, you're going, that's it. I'm not choosing anybody else. Oh, hold on a minute. Says the Medrash, number 6. Says the Medrash on the bottom of the page. Vayelech Moshe. Oh, 1 second. Yeah, God, you're right. We just figured it out. I'm going to go to Mitzrayim. However, you got to wait. Vayelech Moshe vayashav al yeser chosna. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't go to Mitzrayim yet. Yeah, I agree. I should be the savior of the Jewish people, but I got to go back to my father-in-law. Go back to your father-in-law. What are you doing? There are millions of Jews waiting in Mitzrayim. You just save them. You just fought with me for 7 days. Enough time wasted. It's time for you to go back. Take care of what you have to do. Says the Medrash, V'shash amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Va'ata lecha ve'ashlachecha al paro. When God tells him, you should go to Mitzrayim now, and I want you to negotiate with Paro and take the Jewish people out. Amar lo, he says to him, no, Ribon Ha'olam, Master of the Universe, I love you, however, eini yachol. I can't go yet. Eini, what do you mean, eini yachol? You can't go? What are you waiting for? Well, the problem is, Mipnei shekiblani yisro. Because the truth is, when I was running away, and I didn't have a place to stay in Midian, and I didn't know anybody, there was a very nice, kind person who took me into his house. Upasach li beso, va'ani imo keben, and I am now to him like a son. Umishu poseach pischo lachavero, and somebody who does a favor for his friend, nafsho chayevlo. I owe my life to that person. I owe my life to that person. And therefore says the Medrash, Lakach Amar Moshe Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since Kiblani Yisro, since my father-in-law Yisro took me into the house, V'nahag B'kavod, and he took care of me and did everything that I needed, Eini Holech Ela Bershuso. I don't care, God, that you said I have to go. And I don't care that there are millions of Jews waiting in Mitzrayim, and I don't care that I already wasted 7 days. Eini Holech Ela Bershuso. I owe it to him. Really? At the expense of the whole Jewish people? At the expense of God himself? You're going to stand up to God like that? And the answer is yes. Because I owe it to him. Nafsho chayavlo. He did something for me which makes my life obligated to him. Everything that I have is because of him. And therefore, I cannot leave before asking his permission to do so. Incredible perspective on how much we owe people who do incredible things for us. You know, we spoke last week about Hallel, and there's a complicated Gemara where we have a disagreement about what exactly should we say in the Nusach and Nishmas that we say every Shabbos. So one of the Amoraim says, well, you should say, thank you Hashem for Kol HaHodos, for all the things that we have to be thankful for. And the other opinion in the Gemara is, no, thank you Hashem for Rov HaHodos, for most of the things that we're grateful for. And the Gemara asks back, Rov HaHodos velo Kol HaHodos? You think you only owe God some of the gratitude in life? You don't owe him everything in your life? What does that mean? How can you say such a thing? How can you say, HaMehula B'Rov HaTishbachos? That's what we say in Nishmas every Shabbos. HaMehula B'Rov HaTishbachos? Thank you God for most of the things that you do for me. What do you mean? What about everything? Don't we realize that everything that we have is from him? So what does it mean? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested such a beautiful insight. My father writes it in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav. He has such a great insight where he suggests the following. You find by Paro, Melech Mitzrayim. Vayaka Melech Hadash al Mitzrayim, a new king, comes into power. Asher lo yada es Yosef. He denies the existence of Yosef. What do you mean, lo yada es Yosef? He doesn't know? He didn't go to fifth grade history? He doesn't know that Yosef is the man who saved the whole country? Of course he knows Yosef. Asa atzmo ki'ilu lo yada. He didn't want to be beholden to Yosef, and therefore he just denied the existence of Yosef's presence in Mitzrayim. He may pretend like it never happened. Like there was never anybody there from the Jewish people who actually were involved in saving the country of Mitzrayim at all. And says the Medrash, somebody who denies the appreciation that they owe to somebody else for helping them out, in the end, ultimately, they will also deny the gratitude that they owe God himself. And this is why Paro in the end says, Asher lo yadati es Hashem. I don't know who this God is that you're talking about. You're saying God says I should send the Jewish people out? Who's he? Well, how did that start? It starts with being ungrateful to the people that are closest to you, that do favors for you. And if that's the attitude you're going to have, you're going to end up being lo yadati es Hashem in the end. That Seder of Soloveitchik is what we mean here. We say to Hashem, yes, we owe you everything, but imagine in life, if we're never going to be grateful to anybody else who's near us, to anybody who does anything for us, because we're going to say, well, God sent him. Why should I say thank you to the doctor? He didn't save my life. God just put it in his hands to save my life. God did everything, and I'm paying the doctor. Why should I say thank you anyway? And why should I thank my spouse for doing all the kindnesses while I do kindnesses back for the spouse as well? And why should I be thankful to the waiter that serves me in a restaurant? Isn't he being paid? And the person in the gas station, why do I thank them? And why do I tip them? Not sure everybody does. But why do I tip them? What's so special? Aren't they paid by the hour? And the answer is, if we don't reserve a place in our lives to thank the people that live in this world, even though we know God sent them there, even though we know that they're being paid, if we don't allow ourselves that opportunity, then ultimately we're not going to recognize the kindnesses that God does for us either. If you start off being Lo yada es Yosef, if you don't know the gratefulness that you owe to people like Yosef in your life, then ultimately you're going to end up saying Lo yadati es Hashem as well. If you don't get yourself accustomed to being thankful to other people. And this is why in Nishmas we go out of our way to say that we don't owe everything to Hashem. It's only Berov HaTishbachos. Yes, it's true, we know that everything ultimately comes from him, but we need to leave over a space where we say, not everything that we're going to be grateful for is only going to be directed to God. We have to leave over some gratitude for people that are meaningful to us in life as well. And that's perhaps what it means in that Gemara, when we have the disagreement about should a person say, Kol HaHodos or Rov HaHodos, perhaps that's what it means. We owe so much to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you think about what it is that we owe to Him, when we think about the hallow that we say and how much we're grateful for. And obviously there's the obvious kindnesses and there's the greatnesses that He does for us in life, and you'll say, okay, so I think about it every so often, and obviously we never think about it enough and we never thank Him enough for all of it. But there's so much more than that. We have a pasuk in Tehillim that we say every Shabbos in Pesukei Dezimra. La'osen eflaos gedolos levado kili olam chasdo. Ask the Medrash, what does it mean? La'osen eflaos gedolos levado? He's the only one that does kindnesses? Of course. What would you have thought? There's somebody else who does kindnesses? So what does that word levado mean? Let's see. Says the Medrash number 7 on the other side of the page. La'osen eflaos gedolos levado. Mechi mishehu acher asa imo davar shehu omer levado. Why are we saying, Lo'osen eflaos gedolos levado? You're the only one that does great things for us. Would you have thought that there's another God that perhaps also kicks in once in a while? So what's levado? Says the Medrash, what it means is the following. Ela levado yodea ma'pelaim oset. You, God, are the only one who really understands, if it were to be such a thing, you're the only one who really understands the magnitude of kindness that you do for us. Says the Medrash. Ketzad. Adam nasan alamita v'hanachesh lefanav ba'aretz. You have a person who's laying in bed, and there happens to be a snake that's running around on the ground, a poisonous snake. Ba lamod, I get up from bed, I have no idea what's happening. Hirgish bo hanachash ubarach milefanav. All of a sudden, the nachash hears that somebody's getting up, standing around, and the nachash runs away. Eini yodea ma'ploim asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu imo. I am not even aware that there was a precarious situation right in front of me. I didn't realize that I could have just lost my life. I don't even think to be grateful to Him, because I have no idea that anything just took place. And that's what it means. Umi yodea, who knows? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the only one who knows. Le'oseh niflaos gedolos levado. Even when we are saved, even when things do happen to us, we have no way of understanding how deep of an appreciation we have to have for that which just took place. We don't know how dangerous it really was. We don't know how many things were removed before we came into the scene, that God took care of all of that without us knowing anything. That's what it means, levado. We have to be thankful to Him, even sometimes for things that we don't even recognize. He looks out for us without us knowing it. Levado, He's the only one who understands how deep of a kindness He does for us. We have no way of ever recognizing or understanding that. And what's fascinating is, you read about the psukim that we're going to read in the coming parshios about the sojourn in the Midbar. And you'll say, well, it was so amazing. They had man falling every day. And they had a Kriyas Yamsev. And what could have been more of a divine revelation than that? What could have been more of God's kindnesses than splitting the Yamsev, than breaking every law of nature for them, than performing all of the makos, than having man falling min hashamayim? What could be greater than that? And what are we told? Look at this Medrash. It's just mind-blowing. You see what the Medrash tells us. L'cha Hashem atzdaka, number 8, v'lanu boshes hapanim. We have a pasuk that we say in Slichos. L'cha Hashem atzdaka, you are the righteous one, v'lanu boshes hapanim. We should be ashamed of ourselves. Why are we ashamed of ourselves? For what? Says the Medrash. Listen to this. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, l'anu boshes hapanim v'shelacha atzdaka. You know why? Yisrael over in Bayam. The Jewish people. Picture the scene. Going through Kriyas Yamsev, the greatest miracle ever for the world to encounter. V'kaspo shel pesel micha over bayam. In Sefer Shoftim, we have a story of Pesel Micha, where they erected a Avodah Zarah, and they're serving the Avodah Zarah, and it destroyed the Jewish people. And at the time that they're going through Kriyas Yamsev, what greater kindness of God can you have than that? At that very moment, kaspo shel pesel micha over bayam. The Jewish people are carrying the silver through, carrying the gold, and saying, hey, we're going to use this for Avodah Zarah one day. Isn't that a nice idea? Spitting it in God's face. How much more defiant can you get than that? Shanemar, va'avar bayam tzara v'hayam nikra lefneyem. Even though they were walking through that very narrow path, and the yam was lefneyem, and God was showing them His miracles and His kindness, still they were rebelling against Him. Still, they were acting in defiance. And not only that, the next medrash, you look about the experience of the man that took place in the Midbar. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Atamotzi b'yom sheyod haman liYisrael, on the day that the man fell down for the Jews in the Midbar, in the desert, bo bayom avdu Yisrael avodah zarah, on that day, as man is falling from the heavens, avdu avodah zarah. They're spitting it in God's face. How much more kindness can you receive from God than that? And yet, He's willing to give it to you anyway. And not only that, v'lo od el shenat l'mimenu, V'hikrivu la'avodah zarah shalahem. Can you imagine? You take them on. Not only you say, okay, in the morning I serve the avodah zarah, now I'm ready to serve God. No. You take them on. You actually bring the miraculous food to the avodah zarah and put it in the avodah zarah's mouth. Can you imagine? And God, you know what the next day God did? Gave you man again. And this is a very extreme example, but how often are we these people? Yeah, we don't serve avodah zarah, and yeah, we're not carrying the money of Pesel Micha, but how often do we have moments like Kriyas Yamsuf, and do we have moments like the man where we see in such an obvious fashion that God is taking such a central role in our life, that he's so interested in bestowing kindnesses upon us? And what's our response? Okay, we won't serve avodah zarah, we won't make a Pesel Micha, we won't feed the man to the avodah zarah itself, but are we really acting in accordance with the way we're supposed to be to somebody who does something like that for us? Are we any better than these people? You know, the Vilna Gaon writes, commenting on a Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara tells us the difference between an Oreach Tov and an Oreach Ra. Says the Gemara, sometimes you have a guest who comes to your house. How do you know if he's a good guest or a bad guest? Well, we'll see. At the end of the meal, what is the reaction of that person? A bad guest says, this is what the Gemara says, a bad guest will say, well, you didn't really work so hard for me anyway, because you were cooking for your wife and children anyway, and you were cooking, you had a bunch of people anyway, so what's the big deal? One more person tacked onto the meal, you didn't make anything extra for me anyway. That's a very poor guest to have in your house. Yet, says the Gemara, what's the definition of a good guest? Is somebody who says, Kama tirchos tarach balabayis bishvili? Look how much the person went out of their way to make sure that I'll be comfortable in their house. And look how much they sacrificed, look how much time they took out of their schedule to make me be welcome in their home. Says the Vilna Gaon, the Gemara is not only referring to the guest that comes to your house. We are all guests in this world, he says. And God puts us into the world and he gives us the opportunity to be the Oreach Tov or the Oreach Ra. Really? Do I owe anything to him? You think he created all this world for me? He has a few hundred million people in the world that he has to take care of. What does that have to do with me? So I'm just another guy here. So what? Really, he created all of this air, all this oxygen just for me? He created the hospitals just so that in case I get sick, I'll be able to go? No, he didn't. He doesn't need me in order for that to happen. That, says the Vilna Gaon, is an Oreach Ra. Your perspective is, God doesn't go out of his way for me. He does it for everybody else. But what we mean when we say Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam is a person's perspective should always be, I'm a guest in this world, and God goes out of his way for me. God really goes out of his way for me. He does kindnesses for me. And forgetting about the rest of the world, everything that I am bestowed upon in my own life is because God loves me. It's not because he had to do it. It's because he loves me and because he wants to do kindnesses to me. And that, says the Vilna Gaon, is always supposed to be our attitude toward everything that we have. That Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, everything that we see in our lives is only because God made a world for me. And when I'm sick and I go to that hospital, God created the hospital for me. And when he gave that doctor the chachma to save me, it's because he loves me, not because of everybody else. That's the difference between an Oreach Tov and an Oreach Ra. Now, recognizing the gifts of Hashem doesn't only mean that we have an obligation to recognize the Kriyas Yamsuf, or the man falling from heaven. We have a Gemara Masechah Shabbos, which is really, this was all the introduction, now that it's 10:15. The Gemara tells us, getting back to Hallel, the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, that's number 10 on the source sheet. Kal HaOmer Hallel Shalem B'chol Yom, let's translate the words. Anyone who recites Hallel Shalem B'chol Yom, Harei Zeh, what's the end of the sentence? Mecharef U'megadef. Anybody know what that means? You are a blasphemous individual. Really? It's not the way I would have ended the sentence. I would have said, anyone who is so amazingly spiritually elevated that they're willing to say Hallel Shalem every single day and highlight the kindnesses of God, you are the greatest person out there. Who else is there like you? Yet what does the Gemara tell us? Hareze mecharef u'megadev. Apikoros. There are very few people that get that divine appellation of Apikoros. A person who says Hallel Shalem every day is one of those people. And all the Mefarshim are bothered. What does that mean? In fact, we have a Gemara that says in Maseches Brachos Daf Dalid, anyone who says Ashrei Tehillah LeDavid three times a day is a Ben Olam Haba. So what's the difference between Ashrei and Hallel Shalem? Why is it if I say Ashrei every day, I go straight to Olam Haba? And if I say Halal Shaleh Michal Yom, oh, no, no, that's a big no-no. You better not say Halal every day, otherwise we're going to call you an apikoros. Why? Rav Meir Simcha writes in the Mesha Chachma, such an incredible insight, he says, because when you think about what are the words of Halal highlighting, Halal talks a lot about B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim. It talks about the extraordinary. It talks about the supernatural, the spectacular experiences that we had as a people. If a person says Halal Shalim every day and thinks that God is only present at those moments of B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, that God is only present at those extraordinary moments of life, and you don't recognize that God is there at the Ashrei moments of life. Ashrei talks about every mundane activity that we do every single day. Somach Hashem l'chol anoflim. I can't get out of bed in the morning. My back is hurting me, but God helps me to get out of bed. Poseach es yadecha masbi l'chol chayr. I don't know how I'm going to make a parnosa. I was fired from my job. I'm still here. What's going to be? It's a very mundane activity. It's routine. My stocks went down. Are they going to go up again? Is everything going to be okay? Is my family going to be healthy? Little things that we don't notice as great miracles like Yetzias Mitzrayim, like Kriyas Yamsuf. That's what Tehillah LeDavid is all about. That's what Ashrei is every day. And if you feel that the only presence of God that you have to recognize is in the moments of Halal Shalem, in the moments of supernatural, of when all the laws of nature are being broken, and you deny His existence and His involvement in the ordinary, in the routine of life that we live every day, that's a Mecharif u'Megadif. That's a person who doesn't believe that God is here in every moment of life. That's what it means. That's the difference between someone who says Halal Shalem every day and someone who's careful to recite Ashrei every day. The Ramban teaches us. And this is the more famous part of the Ramban that we started with. And this is a Ramban, if you haven't seen it before, you should review it, you should underline it, and know it by heart because it's so important. It's such an important fundamental Ramban. He tells us in the end of Parshas Bo, Min ha-nisim ha-gdolim ha-mufursamim. What was the reason why God created these Gedolim hamufursamim, these miracles that are so well known, that are so exaggerated? It's because Adamoda benisim hanistarim. It's because it's supposed to propel a person to be grateful for the nisim hanistarim, for the hidden miracles that we experience every moment of our lives. Shehem, says the Ramban, Yesod HaTorah Kula. That is the foundation of the entire Torah. That's what we're here for. Shenamin be'elokeinu v'noda elav shebaranu. That's what we're here for. Says the Ramban, She'ein la'adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. You have no business in the Jewish people. Ad shenamin b'chol dvarenu u'mikrenu shekulam nisim. Until we are able to believe that everything, b'chol dvarenu u'mikrenu, that everything that we encounter, every experience that we have, is an absolute miracle. Ein bahem teva minhag shalom. There is no such thing as ordinary. There's no such thing as routine, as the mundane, as typical. It doesn't exist. Everything is a miracle. And that, says the Ramban, ein lahem chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. If you don't believe this, you have no place in the Jewish people. You don't understand what Judaism is all about. If you can't bring yourself to understand that every moment of life is an absolute miracle. This is what we say every day in Hallelujah. Kol ha-neshama tehalal ka. The simple understanding of the pasuk is, every neshama, every soul has to give praise to God. But the Gemara learns what it means is, al kol neshima u-neshima tehalal ka. On every breath that we take, we have an obligation to thank Him. Because every breath is a miracle. We take nothing for granted, and we recognize that every moment of our lives is an absolute miracle. If you look, the Gemara has a Maseches Brachos as well. We're running out of time. But the Gemara tells us, Kol hasamech ge'ula l'tfila, hareza ben olam haba. Somebody who makes sure, you know, before we daven Shemona Esrei every day, we say a paragraph about the Ge'ulas Mitzrayim. We talk about all the miracles that happened. Mitzrayim ge'al tanu, and you killed the Bechorim, and everything happened, and it was wonderful. And we go straight from that into Shemona Esrei. Says the Gemara, if you make sure not to have a hefsik, not to break in between the recitation of Ge'ula and the start of your tefillah, of your Shemona Esrei, you're going straight to Olam Haba. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, really? It's that easy? That's all you need? Just to make sure? What's so special? That saying, Geula, right next to tefillah? Maybe you'll tell me, if somebody is careful not to talk during the whole davening from beginning to end, wow, you're going to Olam Haba, that's not an easy thing to do. But what's so special about not making a hefsik, not making a break, in between Geula and tefillah? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, because when we talk about Geula, what do we mean? We're referring to the unbelievable experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. If somebody stops after saying Geula and doesn't realize that it's the same God that performs all of those miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's the same God that now you're going to ask for all your mundane requests that you ask for in Shemona Esrei. If you don't think it's the same person, and you break in between your reciting of Geula and your reciting of Shemona Esrei of Tefillah, you have no place in Olam Haba. You don't understand what God is. It's the same person that's able to do all of that is the same person that's also going to provide you with a Baruch Aleinu, with a Parnasa, with a Refuah Shelema, with the same person that's going to provide you with everything that you need in life, with all your Shmak Aleinus and everything you're asking for. Every little mundane request that you have in life is going to be performed by the same person that's able to do the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Makas Bechoros, the everything that we experience in Mitzrayim. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says the Gemara is referring to. Kalasamach Geula L'Tfila, someone who's careful to always remind themselves that is that very same personality in our lives. It's the very same force that's always able to provide us with everything. That's the person who's going to Olam Haba, because that's a person who really understands how much of a central role God is supposed to play and does play in our lives. One last point to make before we close up about Halel v'Hodah, and that is when we speak about the Halel, there's a very important point that needs to be made. And you look at number 13 on the source sheet, we have the pasuk about Leah after she gives birth to Yehuda. And we know that there were a certain, the Medrash says, there were a certain amount of children that were supposed to be born to each of the Imos, and now Leah is so grateful that she seems to have gone over her share. Vatahar Ode, and she conceives once again. Vatela ben, she gives birth to a child. Vatomer, and she responds by saying, Hapam Ode es Hashem. Now it's time for me to thank Hashem. Al kein karishma Yehuda. And that's why she calls her son Yehuda. Fine. Doesn't mean that she never gave gratitude beforehand. Okay, whatever it means. She calls her son Yehuda. Vatamon miledes. Now what are those words doing there? She stopped having children. I mean, she decided, okay, four is enough. Is that what happened? No. We know that she wanted to have more children. So what does it mean? Now she's too old, she can't have kids anymore, she can't conceive? What does that have to do with the fact that she just had a child? What does that have to do with the fact that she just had a child? Says the Tur in his commentary on Chumash, the reason why she stopped having children is for the following. I forgot to put it on here. Kishenosein hoda'a lamakom. When a person gives gratitude, gives thanks to the Almighty for everything that He bestows us with in life, Shenasan Hashem la kol chalka, she thanks Hashem for giving her everything that she has, Velo biksha yoser, she didn't use that opportunity to ask for future success as well. Al kein amda miledes, it was taken away from her. How often, says the Tur, do we have successes in life and we'll stop and we'll say, okay, we're successful. We recognize that God gave it to us. It's time to thank Him. But from there on in, we don't ask for anything more because we say we're good. We don't need Him anymore. And we think we're set. And we get complacent with the situation that we're in, and we don't recognize that everything we have is such a blessing. We may have recognized it at the time. But if you don't use that opportunity also to ask for the future, then all of that blessing will be taken away from you. That's what it means, Vatam on miledes. Yes, it's a wonderful act that she called her son Yehuda because Hapam Odes Hashem. But at the same time, she forgot, if you want to have continued success, if you want to have continued Siyata Deshmaya, continued blessing in your own life, you have to make sure to ask for it, even after you're blessed. It's not over once the blessing is there. That's what it means, Vatam on miledes. And when you think about the Hallel that we recite, Hallel is full of all the praises from all the generations, and we say so many nice praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the end, we stick in the word, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana. How does that fit? And the Mefarshim explained, it fits because you have to use the opportunity of Hallel as also a way to express that which you need in the future. Not only am I grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything He has provided me with, but I also use this opportunity to say, Ana Hashem Hoshiana. Continue to provide for me. Continue to be there for me. Continue to save me. And if I don't do that, then I won't have the opportunity to say Hallel ever again. Because I won't be given that blessing again. This is why we say every day in Modim, Hatov ki lo chal rachamecha, yes, we thank You for giving us all that You give us. V'hamrachem ki lo samu chasadecha, You should never stop. Me'olam kivinu lach, we always look forward to everything that You're going to give us. It's not enough to give Hodah. It's not enough just to say, Modim Anachnu Lach. You also have to add into that paragraph, that we look forward to having a continued relationship with you, to be continued, to be bestowed upon by all of your blessing, by all of your kindness. And if you look in the Rambam, we started with the mitzvah of Bikurim in the Beis HaMikdash, and we know that Bikurim is the ultimate expression of our gratitude, our gratefulness, where we give everything up to God Himself. But the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvot, when he describes the what's supposed to take place upon the person coming to the Beis HaMikdash and offering his Bikurim in the Beis HaMikdash, says the Rambam, Shetzivanu l'saper tavosav asher heitiv lanu uvehitzi lanu. We're supposed to say all of the wonderful things that God did for us throughout the generations, u'leshabcho al koze, and to thank Him for all of that, u'levakesh mimenu lahasmid habracha. And says the Rambam, we use that opportunity of bringing the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, levakesh mimenu, to ask of Him, lahasmid, hasmada, means we ask of Him that He should continue to shower us with all of His blessing that He's given us until now. That's what Bikurim is all about. It's not just the experience of having gratitude, of gratefulness to God. It's not only highlighting everything that He does for us in life, but it's recognizing that if we want to be continued to be blessed in our lives, we have to always remember that it's only God who's able to do that for us. And if we cannot bring ourselves, when we're successful, to also make time to ask Him to continue to make us successful in the future, then we're not going to have those successes. We're not going to be blessed with all the wonderful blessings that we have. So we spent some time explaining, number one, the mitzvah of Hallel, the centrality of Hallel in general, and how much it means to us, the importance of offering Hodah at many various junctures in our own lives when we're supposed to. And we, at the same time that we speak about the importance of Hodah, it's also an opportunity for us to beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu that although we very often are successful and we have wonderful things that we've been blessed with in our life, but we also ask that He continue in every possible way to bless us with the nachas that we want, with the wonderful blessings that we want, with all the successes that we look forward to. And that's really the ultimate goal of Hallel. Like the Rambam says, levakesh mimenu lahasmid habracha. We should all have that opportunity to do so. And Amir Tz Hashem next week.